This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Oh, you got left hanging out to dry yesterday.
Who?
You did.
How's that?
Because they didn't put your 15-16 on accounting.
Oh, that's what I heard. Ah, you know. Hey, they're busy. I mean, Jess Roy's down there at Coral Gables.
Number one was Clemson defense, and then through 15, it was kind of like, why is Clemson defense up? And by the way, they didn't list Wake as the Swiss or Louisville as the team of mystery.
They didn't?
No.
What are they doing?
I don't know. It may require a meeting.
No, I'm not involved. Sorry.
I don't want to get involved.
You know why? Because my interest level in social media on a scale of 1 to 10
right.
is about a negative 97.
I know.
I don't care.
Yeah, you're only interested in posting hats. Pictures of you wearing the Packer and Durham hat at Foreign Lands.
In fact, I'm thinking about even getting rid of the Instagram account. That's how.
Oh, don't do that. It leave me no place to tag you.
Great. I don't even go on it. I don't. Twitter's the only chance you can find me.
The kids like you on the Instagram. They like you on the gram.
I don't waste a 1 second.
Tell them who set up your Instagram account.
I don't even remember. My girls did, I think.
Yes, they did.
I think they did. They should just run it. I don't even care.
Hey, you wouldn't be the only guy in the sports world to do that.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. As soon as I'm done with all this media stuff, hey, I can assure you.
Jumping off the grid.
Oh, you are never going to see me
like
again.
Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
You are. I mean, that Twitter account, I can't get rid of that thing fast.
I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we'd like to do. This would be a little fun for us. Maybe not so much Pac, but what the heck. Today, if you put anything on Instagram and it's ACC related, make sure you tag at ACC Packer just for fun.
Why are you doing that? I don't want any. I don't even look at it.
You okay? Then you don't have to worry about it.
I know, but it keeps popping up on my stupid phone, which I'd love to get rid of this thing, too.
You want me to take care of the notifications?
Can you do that?
Yes.
I don't see any of it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I normally just hand that to my girls and say, could you just get that away from me? Just leave me alone.
If we reach 1,000 tags for Mark Packer today on Instagram.
That's great. Big man.
I got to tell you, this is not my idea.
No, this is not I don't care whose idea it is. It's a bad one. Whoever wants to take credit for it.
You're getting rid of it anyway. Just go out in a flame. That's all we're doing.
Great.
All right. Sitting in the basement, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go do a national radio show for 3 hours from 4 to 7.
Radio, wildly popular.
It's doing great.
It's doing great.
Yeah.
Great show.
Contract's coming up, too.
Oh, great. Okay. Let's get to the Coastal. Yes, folks, 3 weeks in. Do we have chaos? We got an early scoop. Let's put it that way.
We're setting the foundation
yes,
for
we
chaos.
Are.
Is what
we are. Because Carolina beating Virginia draws everybody into that triangle. You now have Carolina with a loss. You have Virginia with a loss. Hey, Virginia Tech, remember we talked about some of those toe stubs last weekend? Yours, yeah, it counts non-conference, but you know what? You can still get there. Still got plenty of time. Work it out against Richmond this week. Take a week off. Get Notre Dame. And then after that,
you still got a zero in the loss column.
That's it. Still got a zero in the loss column. So where are we left here with the Coastal? On the graph, you see, Duke is the only team to win the Coastal with more than one ACC home loss since 2013. Really important to remember. Protecting home field, Virginia, Friday night against Wake Forest. You start looking around the Coastal. That's what's going to determine kind of the way this thing may fall.
It certainly will have an impact. There's no question. I don't know if it will determine it, but it will have a major impact.
Yep.
You got to win games. I don't care if home, way, whatever the case may be, but you got to hold serve at home. That's why last week with North Carolina, mm-hmm. it was critical for North Carolina to say, guess what? Yeah, we lost at Virginia Tech. There'd be a lot of people losing at Virginia Tech.
Sure.
So, all right, we got one, but we cannot lose at home. Pressure now goes to Virginia on Friday night. Here come the Demon Deacs, undefeated, feeling good, Swiss liking where they are. You have to hold serve at home if you're going to win the Coastal.
By the way, Duke lost two home games but did not lose a conference road game 8 years ago when they won the Coastal Division.
Right.
That being said, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Florida State already have one conference road loss this season. 2019, last time we had divisions, Virginia, 9-4, they went 6-2 in the loop. They lost both of their conference games on the road that year. Pittsburgh in 18 lost both conference road games on the lost both road games in conference, lost two road games. That's where you stand in this. That's the stats and the data on this show you that road games, Pitt, two losses, both on the road. Miami and 17, one loss on the road.
At Pitt.
Virginia Tech, 16. Guess what? On the road.
Lost one.
It's just right there. I mean, that just simply shows you how valuable home field advantage is in the ACC, especially when it comes to division play.
Yeah, and given what we perceive to be a tight race in the Coastal, and we may get one in the Atlantic based on what happens in Raleigh, you've got to win those games. I mean, it's as simple as that. And if you give some away at home, brother, good luck stealing them on the road. It's not easy. All not right. easy to do.
We talked about this during the week. Pac brought this up, I want to say about 3 weeks ago. UVA has the highest home winning percentage versus road winning percentage. It's the biggest differential in the FBS since 2018. Virginia's won 91% of their home games and only 20% on the road, Pac.
I've been beating that drum for a while with the Hoos. And if they want to get back to the ACC championship game like they did in 2019, look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had never won a game at Pitt. Hadn't beaten Pitt, period.
Right.
And guess what? They opened up with them, won the game. That's what you have to do. And if you can steal one on the road, it feels like it's more than just a W in the win column, right? I mean, it just kind of feels like, hey, that was one plus something else.
Yeah.
So I go back to Virginia on Friday night. Here comes Wake Forest. Deke's undefeated. Virginia coming off a loss. Hey, they've been great at home. They must hold serve. And if you don't, you really kind of feel like your back's against the wall. And if you're Wake Forest, man, if you could still win at Virginia, hey, who knows, right? Who knows what happens in the Atlantic?
Well, and the numbers on Virginia are pretty stark, too, because since 2019, when they went to the division title, they're 14-1 at Scott Stadium, at the David A. Harrison III field at the Carl Smith Center.
It's good.
Got it all there for you. Yep. Seventh best overall home winning percentage, by the way, in college football over the past 2 years. They're 19-2. At home since 2018 is number two among all ACC teams. Wake, by the way, 9-19 on the road under Dave Clawson as head coach. It's a stern test. It's as important as we talk about Clemson and NC State. Wake, Virginia is just as important for not only if Wake were to win the game, it would be a complete steal. A complete steal of a game that probably statistically you don't think Wake can win. Virginia almost has to win now after Saturday night in Chapel Hill. This is kind of what we mentioned early last week, too. Carolina wins, it's a home team. If Virginia wins, it's a steal. Well, now we're on the other side of that. If Wake wins, it's a steal. Like Carolina last Saturday night, Virginia has to have that sense of urgency Friday night against Wake Forest.
That's what I just said. I mean, it's really kind of a role reversal for the Hoos as they get ready to host on Friday night. And as far as the Atlantic goes, I'll say it again. When you start taking inventory, I know it's early, but that game in Raleigh, it just kind of feels like the winner of that game has the total upper hand for the rest of the way. No disrespect to anybody else in the division, but those two teams just feel like right now the two best teams, arguably. I know Wake Forest is going, Pack, we're undefeated. You had us ranked higher than NC State.
Yes.
Yada, 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 yada. Right. But I'm talking about the conference race. I'm not talking about who have you beaten so far through 3 weeks. And just feels like if you're NC State, you're like, hey, you know what? We can dream big. You know, we haven't won an ACC title since 1979.
Right.
Dave Dorn said, Pack, if we eat and if we win the championship, we're eating pancakes together. That's the game you have to win. You have to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, guess what? Not only do you lose the tiebreaker to Clemson, but the Tigers are off and rolling. And here we go. Like we expected before the season. But the fact that they've had offensive woes, they Clemson, that adds to intrigue heading into Saturday.
Well,
so we'll see.
And here's the other part. And we don't have to tell Clemson fans this. A second loss puts it in real doubt.
Oh, no.
No two lost teams ever made a college football.
Let me make it real clean. That's the line. And I know that the thought there is, hey, the ACC is a stepping stone to where we want to go. I get it. Clemson's been there, done that. Been to six straight
got a lot of the gear
playoffs.
From it, yeah.
You've been to four national championship games. You've
right.
won two natties. You've dominated the ACC. So the mindset there is,
right.
hey, Object one, win the division. Object two, win the league.
Correct.
Object three, where's our invite? Object four, let's win two and bring home another title. That's where they are. They're Clemson's been hanging out in elite company for a long, long time. So the mindset is where that is. But the reality is, big picture, from a college football playoff standpoint, the college football playoff committee has made it pretty clear. They've been incredibly consistent regardless of what league you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You lose two, you're
right.
Through.
That's it.
So, but if, more importantly for Clemson, they can't be worried about college football playoff. You got to worry about NC State this week and can you win your division? It all starts with that.
Yep.
Because if you don't do that, see ya.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Got Chester over there rocking and rolling with the Goodell chair. We got the new lights, and they are shining red. You know why? Because Louisville is in the house, Wes Durham.
Get your L's up. Travion Cooley joins us live this morning from Derby City here on Packer and Durham. How are you, my man?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Let's cut right to the chase here. You grew up in the Raleigh area, Nightdale. Metropolitan Nightdale, by the way, Pack,
right.
Just in case you need to know that.
That's right.
How in the world did you end up at the University of Louisville? Because I'm going to just hazard a guess here. You did not grow up a Louisville fan.
No. I honestly really didn't consider Louisville at first until I visit. I fell in love with the city. I love the coaches and, you know, the people that were in the building. That made it a lot easier than made my decision.
Trevor, I want to get to Friday night. Three games in 12 days. I mean, for a guy that skipped senior year, early enrollee, hey, jumped right on board, deep in the pool, right into college life, three games in 12 days. You ever done that in your life, ever?
No. No, sir. I never done that in my life.
So how's the body?
You know,
how do you feel?
They actually take care of us. You know, that was a big part of our performance on Friday. I feel like they took care of our bodies leading up to that point. You know, we had a great week of recovery, and that played a big factor in how we performed on Friday.
All right, so there's this play in the game where you kind of run the wheel route, I guess, and you are, to say wide open would be an understatement. I mean, there's nobody. How in the world did you think there's no way I'm going to come clean out of this, right? There was no way you were coming clean.
No, I knew. UCF backers, you know, they bite down pretty hard on they bit down pretty hard. They thought it was going to be a run. And as soon as I saw, you know, 10 have his eyes in the backfield, that's when I knew, you know, I should release and I should get out as fast as I could.
Trevor, you know what's funny about this play is Malik Cunningham. Throw the ball. He's pointing. He's screaming. He knows you're wide open, and he's pointing like, man, get rid of the ball, man. 23 is wide open. Well, just watch Cunningham.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, he pretty much knew from the beginning.
Exactly. So what are you thinking? You're thinking, okay, they're going to throw the ball to me. I got to catch it. I mean, what are we thinking?
I mean, I was really thinking just run, honestly. I never doubted the catch. I never thought about the catch. I was just thinking, like, as soon as I get this ball, I know I have to go, you know, in the end zone.
Well,
it was a big play. It was 28-28 in the fourth quarter, so.
Yeah.
I knew I had to score. I didn't have a choice but to score.
You know, it was such a fun game to watch because it was like a tennis match. They scored, you scored, and then you scored, they scored. And you just figured watching the game, man, whoever gets the first break is going to win it. And lo and behold, you know, UCF made a great play. Tip pass, interception, positive side of the field. And I know you're thinking, oh, son of a gun, we played so well in this game. Such a clean game. No turnovers. They get the ball. Now the defense has to make a play. And lo and behold, the very next play, we go six, you know, pick six heading this way for a touch. I mean, I know that's why you signed with Louisville, but, man, that place was going bonkers. That just had to be a blast on the sideline watching it.
Yeah. It was funny. I wasted so much energy when we got the pick six. I swear, I thought I was cramping up for a second. running after Jalen, you know. It was just insane. I never witnessed anything like that, you know, in my football career. I've been playing football for a very long time, since I was 4 years old. And I never witnessed anything like that, you know. It was just, you know, it was just insane to me. It was insane to see.
Travion, let's be honest. You're a young guy. Jalen Alderman's a young guy. We don't necessarily think of that maybe with Louisville because we're familiar with Cunningham. We know about, you know, we had Mitchell on last week. We know that, you know, Braden Smith's been there a while. Some of the defensive guys, Monty and CJ, they've been there a while. But it seems like young guys are really kind of booing a little bit of Louisville here early in the year.
Yeah. Honestly, this 21 class is going to be a great class here. You know, they push us to think. Okay, my coach pushed me like I've been here for 3 years. You know, that's his biggest thing. He doesn't treat me like a true freshman or a freshman at all. So we honestly know that we have a role. You know, those older guys help us a lot, and they push us to be the best us. They know that on Saturday or Friday, or Thursday, no matter what the day is, we want to show up for them. For our team.
Trivian, the season's always long, right? You go through highs, you go through lows. It's never a straight line. Even here we are at the end of September, given the fact that you started the season in Atlanta against a really good Ole Miss team, and at halftime you got a zero on the scoreboard, isn't it amazing how this the emotions that you've already been through in a span of three games of, hey, at halftime we're going nowhere fast offensively, what's going on? You bounce back. You played well in the second half. You blow out Eastern Kentucky in week two. And then you get the terrific win against UCF. The emotions that you've already gone through after three games. Again, you're just a young guy. Your career is just getting started. But isn't it kind of a cool deal, though, the fact that, hey, it isn't a straight line. There are going to be good days. There are going to be bad days. And what you go through to stay consistent to be a really good player.
Yeah, I think our team, you know, is building more team chemistry. We added a lot of new pieces in the offseason. And I feel like going forward, you know, we're just now really getting the feel of playing with each other. We have a lot of good players on this team, and I trust every single one of them 100%.
So
this is going to be a great team. You know, we work very hard. We work very hard in the summer, spring, you know, pretty much the whole offseason. So it's showing up, and I'm proud of every single one of those guys.
You guys got a pretty strong running back room too, don't you? I mean, there's you, there's Jalen, there's Hassan Hall, Maurice Berkeley. I mean, I know they're younger guys too elsewhere, but that's a pretty stout group right there.
Oh, yes, sir. We all bring different pieces to the table. You know, we're all versatile. I love those guys in the room. You know, they pushed me from the beginning, helped me become a better back. You know, just we have works where we can just tell each other anything, you know. Whether Jalen feels like I need to do something, whether I mess up on the play or not, you know, he'll let me know. Hassan will let me know. That's just a relationship that we have. You know, Maurice, he's like the oldest. So, you know, we all respect him and look up to him. You know, he's a hard worker as well.
Hmm. All right, we got to get one thing kind of cleared here. We've gotten this report. I just want to see if you come to the same conclusion. Who's the fastest guy on the team?
Oh, man, this is the fastest guy on the team.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Hard?
Tyler Harrell. That's not hard. Tyler Harrell.
Yeah. See, everybody says Tyler Harrell has speed like nobody's ever seen. Is Tyler Harrell the fastest guy you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's the fastest guy I've ever seen. He runs so fast, it seems like he's not even running.
That's me.
No, it's not. That's ridiculous.
I'm so fast, it doesn't look like I'm running because
he's
I'm not.
Not running.
That's the deal on that. Trevion, we had we had the defensive coordinator on this program from Louisville, and he made a reference to you got to have stuff in your neck on the defensive side. I want to know what you got to have on the offensive side. If the defensive guys have to have stuff in their neck, what's the deal on the offensive side?
I would say we have to have, you know, just a strong mentality, you know. Those long drives, you know, you get tired. You just have to stay strong mentally and trust your technique, trust your hard work that you put in the offseason. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, we've gotten a lot better as an offense is just staying mentally strong. Whether the drive is three plays or eight plays, it doesn't matter. We're going to perform to the best of our ability every single play.
All right. We started this by talking about how's a guy from Knightdale get to Louisville. I want to know, Louisville, was that on your radar before recruiting? But who did you grow up as a fan of? Who'd you grow up as a fan of? Because you didn't grow up a Louisville fan, did you? Here we go. Yeah,
No, sir. Honestly, I grew up a UNC fan, you know. Darren, Tri-Area, you know, UNC, Duke, you know. I grew up a UNC fan, basketball, football. I love, you know, Roy Williams. But, no, Louisville's not on my radar at first. Honestly, I didn't consider it, like I said before, until I actually came and visited a place. You know, that's what made a big difference to me.
Tell you what, all that shade of blue wardrobe, we threw that in the trash can, baby. As soon as we signed on the dotted line.
All those Carolina hats and sweatshirts and, you know, Ty Lawson jerseys or whatever, Ray Felton jerseys, that stuff's gone, right, Travion? We don't have that anymore, right?
No, we don't have that anymore.
No, hey, by the way, I saw Montrezl Harrell was at the game on Saturday night with our man Luke Hancock. So, I mean, like a real NBA, you know, Montrezl Harrell at the game, you get a Montrezl Harrell jersey now, right?
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he's tall.
Yes, he's very tall. Yeah, hey, and you know where he's from? You know where he's from, Travion?
No, I have no clue.
Tarboro, North Carolina.
Down the road.
Tarboro, North Carolina. That's where Todd Gurley's from. Wow. I didn't know that.
Kelvin Bryant, Todd Gurley, you got it. Yeah, but you don't know who Kelvin Bryant is. That's not for this discussion.
Hey, before we let you go, our traditional question, since you're making your debut with us, and I know you've just got to town, but since you've been to the University of Louisville, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class? I would say criminal justice.
Ooh.
CJ.
Criminal justice. Ooh. That's a first. I don't think we've had that answer from Louisville yet. How about that?
Yeah.
It's nice.
What's hard about criminal justice?
Honestly, some of the times, like just the tests, you know, they're pretty difficult. But, you know, my academic counselors and, you know, they get me prepared for those. But just the amount, I think we take like 2 a week.
Oh, boy.
Take a test and a quiz, you know, every single week.
All I know is...
So that was pretty challenging for me.
Last Friday night was criminal justice, man. You got that pick, took it to the house. That's what that was criminal justice is what that was, Louisville style. Loved it.
Travion, great to have you with us. Look forward to watching you go the rest of the fall. Stay healthy, okay?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure being on here.
Yeah. What a pleasure to have you. Travion Cooley, freshman from Knightdale, North Carolina. Big touchdown catch from Braden Smith. A couple of nice runs for Scott Satterfield and the Cards in their win over UCF.
Isn't it funny, though, when you grow up as a fan of Team X and all of a sudden somebody says, hey, we're going to offer you this scholarship. Catch you later, boys. Give me that red jacket. Yep. Let's go. Yep. Love it.
Throw your L's up. Don't worry about that Tar Heel blue anymore.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for his weekly appearance. This week I want you to notice, Lugs, that we have put the yellow lights on here in the Packer and Durham studio in honor of your Georgia Tech career. We've gone and put the yellow lights on.
You want to call it a career? We're calling it?
Well, you know, your tenure in Atlanta, how's that? We'll put tenure to it. How's that?
I like tenure. It kind of makes it feel like professorial or you know, makes it feel like, I don't know, like you've been somewhere for a while, I guess.
Well,
so,
I mean, we could call it a Georgia Tech mistake if that makes you feel any better.
There are no mistakes. There are only happy accidents.
There you go. That's the attitude.
All right. What's up with Clemson? Let's get to Clemson here right off the top. Pac and Emac spent some time here Monday on it. Mark and I talked yesterday. What's going on offensively with the Tigers?
I just think we glossed over the departure and the lost production of Travis Etienne and Amari Rodgers and their leadership and their reliability probably way too much. You couple that with an offensive line that I think even going back to last year when you really peeled back the layers wasn't very good. And really still isn't where they need it to be. And I think two things come to mind with DJ. I don't know if he's an inherently accurate passer where it's natural for him to place the ball into areas and tight spots and good spots for his guys to catch without having to make adjustments. That's number one. That might be the most important thing. But number two, I really think they need to do more of this right here. Run him some more. And I'm not talking about stuff where he's escaping, where he's trying to find a way to extend a play. I'm talking designated quarterback runs. When the quarterback's not a runner, you're playing 11 on 10. And to me, in order for them to create more one-on-one matchups on the outside, I think they need to force people to load the box to have to defend quarterback run. I do think it's something that would enhance them. Of course, we all have opinions right now of, you know, what's wrong with Clemson and the sky is falling. And a lot of that is they're a victim of their own success. We become so conditioned to think it's going to be easy, and it's actually anything but. So you have a stumble, you have something that's not going your way, it becomes over-magnified. But certainly not where they want to be to this point.
Is it fixable after 3 weeks?
Absolutely, it's fixable. Tony Elliott didn't start taking stupid pills during the month of August. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. The coaching staff's intact. They know exactly who they are, what their weapons are. This just may be one of the few times we've seen in the recent past where they're going to have to do some more coaching, right? They're going to have to do some more tweaking. They're going to have to find out more about how their players tick, who the players are that either they can rely on or they know what their strengths are, and they start gearing things towards their strengths and maybe start gearing things away from a certain player's weaknesses or a certain unit's weakness. So whether it's trying to help the offensive line by changing the launch point of the quarterback on passing downs, trying to help the offensive line by adding the quarterback into the run game, and then maybe early on just to get DJ into a rhythm, some early, shorter, what I would call confidence throws. Get him going, get him humming, get some completions under his belt, and see where it goes. There's no question throughout the course of the season, in my opinion, they're going to improve. They just got too good of players not to.
So 16-9-3 were a little bit better to the old overall than maybe – I don't want to say people took them for granted, but that's a principal issue that Clemson's got to recover from. And, look, they're only three games in, Luke. That's the other thing. And one of them is against arguably one of the best defenses college football is going to have this year.
Might be the best defense the way it's playing right now. I would agree with you. And, of course, we make knee-jerk reactions and the sky's falling, and the reality is it's not.
That's college football.
Dabo Sweeney knows that. The staff knows that. And I think ultimately the players know that. But if you go back to some of those clips, some of that B-roll you guys were showing while I was talking, and you look at some of the errant throws to open receivers, Deshaun and Trevor didn't miss those guys. And I think that's something that maybe more so than anything else is the number one thing that has to be corrected. And that is when there's guys open, when you're going through the correct progression and you're right in your technical side of it, you got to deliver a catchable ball, bottom line.
All right, I want to change gears from Clemson to Brennan Armstrong, because I thought Saturday night was a full showcase of quarterback talent in the ACC at a pretty high level with those two guys.
Well, since you guys bamboozled me last week on Sam Howell and what was supposed to be our two-week-only serving of the quarterback position – It was a magnificent display of quarterback play. And I think the thing that stands out about both guys is so many technically low percentage throws on average were made with routine ease by both Sam Howell and Brennan Armstrong. And you and I, and Pat, we talked about this in July and August, how excited we were about Brennan Armstrong just on the brief glimpse we saw last year. And now I think he's turning into a guy. They're not very good on defense right now, as evidenced by what we saw. But this Brennan Armstrong character can run. He's big. He's athletic. He can create on his own. He's made every throw on the field. He's shown great accuracy. And then I think for 2 weeks in a row, on the flip side of that, you've got a North Carolina team now going down to Atlanta and going to be taking on Georgia Tech. And can Sam Howell get two consecutive performances like that so that this North Carolina offense can get hot? You know, the one thing we saw against Virginia that really helped Sam Howell was a healthy, healthy run game.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Virginia, though, I'm going to keep it there. Friday night, here comes undefeated Wake Forest, another quarterback that plays smart, knows what to do with the football, incredibly well coached. Talking about Dave Clawson's Wake Forest Demon Deeks. Wake at Virginia Friday night, Lugs. Tag, you're it. Tell me what happens here.
Well, you know, with all the inconsistencies, guys, that we've seen in the first 3 weeks of college football, just teams not being able to sustain consistent success or productivity, I look to Wake Forest and I say they're one of the teams that have. They've looked really clean. They've played sharp football. You mentioned Sam Hartman. They're going to be disciplined on defense. To me, if you're going on the road and you are Wake Forest, and let's just say talent is relatively equitable, all right, we're across the board, Sam Hartman can't make mistakes on the road. Because I think what we've seen is there are opportunities and plays to be made versus this Virginia defense, but right now, Virginia's capable of getting into a scoring race. And if you catch them at home, and if you're Wake Forest and you make mistakes on the road, it's going to be a very, very difficult game to win. I think Wake Forest should be favored in this game. They're one of my favorite teams, not only in the ACC, but one of my favorite teams in college football, just because I think they've been remarkably productive consistently for the most part, where with a lot of teams, as I said when we began, has struggled to find that consistency through the first 3 weeks.
All right, Luz, we've got a couple ACC teams that that venture off the line here a little bit. First of all, Missouri goes to Boston College. I said earlier in the show, if Dracovic were healthy, the over-under on total passes would easily be like 114 or 116, because I know Mizzou wants to sling it. That's what Eli Drinkwitz does. But here's BC, undefeated, and to your point about Wake, we're looking at the schedule of who they've played, not what they've done against who they've played.
Right.
Are we missing the boat on BC a little bit here?
Maybe, but I think in fairness, we're going to find out an awful lot more about them because this Missouri team is going to be a significant upgrade in level of competition. And listen, you look at that matchup last week, okay? They win 28-3, and they have 232 total yards of offense. All right, Grossell is 5 of 13. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there trying to figure out how in the heck did they win this game? And then you start to peel back the layers and you realize they forced 5 3-and-outs and had 3 other series turnover on downs, plus a turnover from Temple. So essentially, Temple committed 4 turnovers, and that's how the defense ended up stepping up for Boston College and winning this game. And, you know, Jeff Hafley spoke with him yesterday about how they won this game. And he goes, I don't care about yards. I care about not giving up explosives on defense and trying to create more explosives on offense. If we got to win ugly, we'll win ugly. We're trying to find our way at the quarterback position. And listen, I appreciate that. But I don't think you can beat Missouri unless you have some semblance of organized passing game that will result in some big plays. Because I do think that Missouri will create some big plays in their passing game.
Tom, in the Sunshine State, the two ACC teams are combined 1-5. The Noles off to their worst starts in 76. Miami's still looking to tackle Michigan State or anybody else. We've seen 3 weeks. Louisville comes to Tallahassee. Miami gets roast beef A&M before they jump against Virginia next week. What do you make of Miami and Florida State as we sit here getting into late September?
Well, I know just watching Miami last week, the recipe for them to win is not to attempt 59 passes and rush for 52 yards. Mm. That is not the recipe for Miami successfully to be a competent team on offense. Now, if we assume Derek King is healthy, they've got to get some semblance of a run game aside from his athleticism. We were talking earlier about getting DJ Moore involved as a part of the run game. Right now, Miami is inept in that regard. And then defensively, you know, listening to Manny Diaz this weekend, it's not just the concern about not being able to tackle. It's who's not making the tackles. And he pointed that out. It's one thing to be a poor tackling team or to not make tackles in space. And it's the guys you become accustomed to making those plays that all of a sudden aren't making them. And listen, in fairness to Miami, the lack of tackling is an epidemic in college football. It's an epidemic, to be honest with you, in the NFL. Yeah. With player safety and how we've changed our practice schedules, how we've limited contact, how are we expecting anybody to tackle in today's offensive game when you don't practice it the way you used to? You don't take players to the ground. It's a challenge for everybody in college football. Now, for Louisville and Florida State, I think we can all agree now, we've talked about this ad nauseum, you can coach it however you want it. You can have this coach, that coach, this philosophy, that philosophy. We've seen it a dozen different ways over the last 4 or 5 years from Florida State, but the result seems to be the same. Undisciplined, sloppy, heavily penalized, seem to be a lack of pride and care into the program. If that doesn't change, then I don't know how you get over the hump. The thing with Louisville is they kind of got hot, won an important game last week. It was a barn burner. Can they do it 2 weeks in a row? Because one thing with Louisville is you get excited about them and they'll find a way to turn the ball over. Minus 12 last year in turnover margin, and they really hurt themselves. They've got good players. They've got good athletes, but they can't afford to turn the ball over against Florida State and give Florida State light at the end of the tunnel. So I think if Louisville protects the football, the team dynamic woes that Florida State's experiencing, nobody's come up with a recipe to fix it yet. So just let them do what they do and worry about yourself and not make mistakes.
You're right. I mean, there's Louisville's almost got to double down on this, and Louisville and Florida State both. It could have been 1-2 versus 0-3. It's 0-3 versus 2-1, and credit to Satterfield and those guys for getting the win. Okay, is Central Connecticut the best college football team in the state of Connecticut?
Yeah, they could be. That's you know what? That is a legitimate question. It's not a question I expected today. But if you're going to say that, and they are, all right, is Miami just turning on the tape of Florida State, Jacksonville State, just running it on a reel in their building? I mean, is that what they're doing right now? Because you got to get the kids focused, right? You got to get their attention. It's one of those weeks you're coming off of a game where, you know, we talked about you tackle poorly, you can't run the football, you're throwing the ball too much, and you kind of get beat up by Michigan State. Now you don't want your kids to relax and sit back and all of a sudden say, oh, we got a gimme this week, because it's going to be anything but, you know. And I think that's the thing in the first 3 weeks that is just – it's amazed me, you know, how college football has been played and how hard it's been for coaches to get their kids to focus from 1 week to the next. I mean, look at that Pitt team at Tennessee on the road and then what they just did this last week. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Kenny Pickett, that would have been a blowout. Kenny Pickett saved Pitt this past weekend. And then, you know, you talk about Florida State and Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame goes on to struggle against Toledo. And then Toledo goes and loses to Colorado State, who lost to South Dakota State. And we're seeing this all across the country in major college football. And as we get to week 4, 5, 6, 7, I want to see who can sustain some productive excellence.
It's the Dave Clawson theory, Pac.
Yeah, sure is. He talked about this is going to be the greatest year of college football due to the fact that, hey, extra year, transfer portal, super seniors, and the elite teams who might have lost a handful of players and a dozen or whatever to the NFL, they're going to recoup with 4- and 5-star young kids. But those old teams are beating up on people. And all you got to do is look at the AP poll. 19 ranked teams have lost through 3 weeks, the most ever. That's exactly what we're talking about.
You know what, Pac? The thing is, it'd be really interesting, and I look at it with the first 3 weeks of the games I've been assigned, and you look at the 2-deep and you look at the roster, and then you see, is there R-JR, R-SR, and now you're seeing R-GR, all right, for your super senior. So you're seeing a bunch of 4th, 5th, and 6th-year guys loading up with certain football teams, and they're older, they're bigger, they're stronger, and they're more experienced, and it counts.
Hey, most important play in the Clemson-Georgia Tech game the other day on 4th and whatever, the shovel pass to the tight end.
Skalski
makes the tackle. The guy's been there since Eisenhower.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. You played against him, didn't you, Tom?
Tom, you played against Skalski, didn't you, when you were quarterbacking?
I played against players with the same neck roll. I mean, I want to know where he purchased that. I mean, that thing, did he get that at a garage sale? I mean, is that an antique store?
I hate to break the news. I'm going to let the secret out. When we all get together to eat steaks next week, I was going to bring one to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Just put it on before they brought out the bone. That's it.
Yeah, that'd be big.
Hey, by the way, have you two clowns figured out when the Georgia Tech North Carolina game is? I mean, we were arguing in the break about our get together.
I'm in. You don't have to look at me.
No. It's I'm in. No. Listen to me. I have an apartment in Charlotte. I have a residence in Georgia. If I get Georgia Tech in Pittsburgh a week from Saturday in Atlanta with Roddy Jones, then we'll go to dinner Monday night. If I don't, we won't. How's that?
Wait. No, you won't.
Well, you and Luke can go. And you know what? And knowing Vicky, she'll probably want to come along and hang out with you guys and talk college football.
What? That's actually a good point. You're out. Vicky's
that's
in.
A good point.
Luke's, that's it. That's how we roll.
All right, Luke's. Luke's, Luke's, you're done. Okay? You might be done forever. I haven't decided yet.
He's in.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday.
You're awesome.
Huh?
You're hilarious.
You like that idea?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
We'll keep that away from the fans for
yeah,
now.
Yeah, not, no, that's not like the lights. We don't need. By the way, we changed colors again.
You like the green?
Yeah, power color, right? Is that
green
what you're
going with?
Green with envy. Green with envy. There we go. Yeah. All right, welcome back. Power Hour coming up, including an anniversary that I think will surprise you. Fan accounting. You know how we did. I was the volatile side of the house.
Consistency over here.
Consistency over there. You can always submit your accounting. Some of you did Sunday, long before you saw ours. Let's start with, can we start with Jason McCrory, who offered us a picture? Offered us two pictures. That's my accounting on the left, the volatility of my market.
Look at that.
Look at Packer on the right.
Solid.
Yeah, steady as she goes. Me, I'm into IT.
If those were golf scorecards.
That could be my golf scorecard,
I would have shot a 72 with three birdies and maybe two bogeys or whatever the case may be, par 73. And yours looks like you shot an 88 six birdies.
Whoa. 88 with six birdies. That's not far. 80 with five one day. But anyway, there we go. Jason, thank you. That's good. All right. Some fan accounting.
By the way, the green lights are sharp. I got to tell you.
Okay. Over here. Here we go. All right. Let's go. Jacob Wilmoth.
Didn't mean to disturb you.
Jason Wilmoth. Jason Wilmoth is next. His fan accounting here, Pack. Jason's got one issue we're going to need to discuss.
Excuse me. I already see a problem.
All right. North Carolina, Clemson, Virginia. Virginia Tech. The Swiss at five.
I like that part.
Pitt at six. BC, NC State, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Duke, Florida State, Miami,
Syracuse. You know, I give you a sweet 16. He gives you a dozen.
12.
Daily dozen on that bad boy.
Two other teams in the league.
Maybe Miami at 1-2, just not worthy of being on his list.
At Bubba Who, by the way, is Jason.
That's an interesting list. I don't think we've ever had somebody just send 12 teams.
All right. Drew Short is next before we get to the top of the hour. Drew went Clemson, Wake. He went old school VPI.
I like that.
Put the Fighting Gobblers on us.
I like that move.
North Carolina, Boston College is five. The other Virginia school is six. NC State, seven. Pitt, eight. Miami, nine. Louisville, 10. Georgia Tech, 11. Duke, 12. Syracuse, Florida State, 15, Virginia Tech, Red Zone Jet Sweeps, and 16 is Wes's accounting.
Wow, you made the list. I like it. Sweet 16.
Yeah. Thank you, Drew.
Drew, I like the VPI. That might be stolen at some point in time. That was a good call.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.